I suppose there's a good excuse.
Is it about 3 a.m. there?
No, it's about 7 p.m. there.
So, Raul, how's the sales of the voice sense with the sense navigation on it? I haven't heard anything.
They're actually going pretty good. We just recently developed a method so that I don't have to do all the key authorization and map copying and all that stuff, because up until we went live, I was basically just doing everything manually. And then finally it got to the point where they realized that I couldn't be the only one with all the super knowledge, so they've delegated. And so, but to answer your question, I think they're going pretty good.
Excellent. You're a little below on your microphone, the volume, that is. And I talked to Doug about this, and he thought that your users wouldn't be able to download maps, but we thought that as well from our users, but they figured it out, and most of them are downloading maps from our website, which would save you guys a ton of time if they're authorized on our website to log in and they can download what maps they want. And also, when if they're at a different state and they forgot their maps, then they could just log into our website and download the maps for that state. So I'm not sure why they're dragging their feet on that issue just to authorize the users. We set everything up so that we can accommodate VoiceSense serial numbers on our website, but we haven't had anyone's serial numbers to put up on our website so they can download their own maps themselves.
Wow, I did not realize that. Yeah, I don't know why my microphone is so low. I have it boosted and all that. I think it's just the drivers on my sound card. I haven't really done much chatting in Vista, and unfortunately I think it has to do with that.
I think you're right.
So anyway, you may want to mention it to Dan, and probably Dan is the driving force on that. Because we actually have a web page for you guys to log in to, where you can type in the person's serial number and information, and it'll get posted to our website, and then they'll be able to log in within an hour of you sending that information to us. So, something to think about, and may help your users, and that's how our users get everything too.
I'll mention that. I had no idea that there was even a website for us to do that. I mean, I knew that was being set up in the sense that, we were going to submit the user information to you guys somehow, and then make that available for the users. But I didn't even know that that was in place or whatever. But yeah, I will. I'll follow up with Dan, see what we can figure out and come up with.
Yeah, it's already done deal, tested and working. Dan, issued one person as a test person, but it never went anywhere. So I don't know why. It'd be nice to have that in place for your users so that they can, get familiar with the My Sendero website, so they can download new, like, users' POIs and any updates and stuff like that automatically.
Well, that's great. Yeah, I'll follow up with it, assuming we're open tomorrow, that is. We've been on a level 2 thunderstorm, blizzard, or whatever warning here all day, and it's supposed to calm down, so hopefully we'll all go in tomorrow.
Sounds good. Hello, everyone else.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
So, Raul, you sent Kevin your file, like the sound file for an approaching turn. Is that something that you're just giving out publicly, and we could actually put it on our website, or maybe in a future version of our product, put it in as an option?
Yeah, it's public, and I actually meant to respond to Kevin on that. One of the things I'm planning on doing is creating some sound packs, and that's going to be in there as part of the defaults or whatever, if people want them, to do whatever. But yeah, that sound is not copyrighted, so yeah, feel free to keep it for whatever and put it up if you want to.
Very cool. Yeah, I may include it in the SDK then, for future people. That's kind of cool. And I like your ideas of sound packs. Are you guys going to actually create a user interface to switch sound packs on the fly? Or, like right now, we just have something for our users to do manually?
For now, it's just something that's manual. I'm waiting to get some of the little minor kinks out before adding, adding new features into the UI. But that's what we want to do eventually.
Excellent. And how has the response been as far as the release and the first few people that have gotten the voice sense navigation?
Sorry about that. My wife was talking to me. What was that question?
I just was saying, how's the response been since you've launched last week with the sense navigation, as far as people that have bought it and the anticipation and all that? Has it been pretty good? Has there been any gotchas as far as user interface issues or anything like that, or how's it been going actually?
Well, ironically, I've had people ask about it in the sense of, people who are still interested in getting it. But as far as the users who have actually purchased it, I haven't heard anything from them. So that's been kind of interesting because I was expecting to start getting some tech support calls, and it's been rather slow there. But as far as gotchas there, we did find one problem where if you have a lot of messages coming through, whether they're POIs or look around stuff or whatever, and you're creating a route, if too many messages come in while the route's being created, then it gets stuck in an infinite creation loop or whatever, and you have to reset the unit. But if you turn off the look around stuff and you don't have incoming messages coming in, then routes create just fine. And so that's a biggie, and we're actually going to be releasing a new firmware here probably within a week or so. That's gonna fix that, plus some other minor stuff that I've discovered since we released. But that's really the only major gotcha.
That's interesting, because I know that our root thread creation is on a separate thread. I needed to do that for one of the SDK for the map engine, because they required a bigger stack size. But I don't, and I think on ours we don't allow any look around events to come through at that point while we're creating a route. So if you have it asynchronous, that yeah, I've never done that before, so I don't know.
Yeah, it really caught me off guard because, well, I mean, initially when they sent me the last private build, which was supposed to, be the public one, I did see the problem, but I could not figure out what would be causing it. I was thinking, maybe it had something to do with distance. It had, maybe it was just a fluke, because it would lock up on a 20-mile vehicle route, but yet the next time I'd create a 30 or 40-mile route, and it would create it just fine. And then I ended up just resetting my GPS receiver, thinking, well, maybe the GPS receiver connection with the voice sense was screwy for some reason. I don't know. At that point, I was just grasping at straws. I reset the receiver and everything was fine. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe it was just a fluke with the receiver. So I just kind of shrugged it off. And then when one of our other private beta testers that was helping us out, he saw the same thing. I reported that right away, and then that's when Hims writes me back saying, yeah, it's because of messages or whatever. But the thing is, though, is it didn't do that with any private build up until that last one, so they did something to break it. And so that was kind of interesting the way that all went down.
Wow, that is interesting. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. I'm not sure what ours does if we actually turn off look around while a route's getting created. I don't think I do, but I know that we don't. If messages came in at that point, we're not displaying them. So, that could be what they're doing is now that while they're creating a route, they're trying to do it all in the background and have the route going and then messages coming in, and that's probably not good.
Yeah, I was thinking it was either that, like they're trying to get fancy, or one of the features that I had them add last minute may have broken it too, because I had them make it so that when you get onto a new street, whether the street name changes or whether you turn onto a new street, it'll say now on blah blah blah. And And I have a feeling it was either that or they just decided to get fancy and cute with something and it ended up breaking that. But I mean, with the private build that I got since release, it's I haven't been able to reproduce that, so they definitely fixed it.
Oh, good, good. Excellent. I'm glad to hear that.
Wow, sounds like this whole the voice and navigation's come a long way, and it's nice to hear from, I guess, a technical support person who's using that system on his side, and that's how we're able to determine with Sendero and VoiceSense what the difference is. And I'm actually glad to be able to sit in and hear what goes into this whole development of GPS.
Well, it's great to meet you, Armando. And yeah, it's definitely come a long way. I'm thinking, the very first build that we got with that had a usable GPS of any kind, was June 18th this year. I mean, there were some other ones before for demoing and testing when this was all taken off earlier in the year and even before I came on with GW. But the first one that actually had the stuff in place where we could actually use maps, as far as I know anyway, was June 18th. And I remember we were told this on Thursday that it was coming up. And hold on, guys, I got a phone call.
So while we're waiting for Raul, Charles, sounds like both of you are just using alike systems, only the difference is he's having kind of a bit of a trouble and he's getting on it right away, and whereas us, we know how to deal with it quicker as well. But either way, it seems promising, both products competing against each other.
Okay, I'm back. I actually haven't really thought of it as so much a competition, really, other than the fact that they're using two different competing note takers. But in the end, as far as the Sendero layer of it, if you will, is pretty much the same, other than the user interface. What I've noticed in reading the GPS Talk mailing list is that a lot of the questions people ask are easily answered, regardless of whether you're using a Braille note or whether you're using a voice sense, because of the fact that they're very similar. But to get back to my story, we found out like on a Thursday or Friday before we got the firmware, hey, we're gonna get a new firmware for the voice sense, and it's gonna have the first usable GPS program on it, that you can actually start testing with and playing with. And I was so disappointed that we didn't get it Friday. So I had a long weekend. So finally Monday comes around, and I get that firmware, and I start playing with it. And after about the first 10 minutes, I'm thinking, this really sucks. I mean, it was horrible. And I had to do everything I could to keep positive about it, But looking back at that version from June 18th to what we have now, I mean, it's done a complete 180, and it's definitely come a long way.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, the HIMSS is a pretty good company. They really can crank it out, and they were able to take my SDK, and with hardly any hand-holding at all from me, I think I may have gotten a dozen emails back and forth from them, for separate questions. And, they had some good questions. They found a couple bugs, but most of the time it was just, is this how you do this? Yeah. Or this is how how do we do this? And I give them the answer. But they were very good, so I was very impressed with them to, and they only got my SDK in January of this year. So in less than a year, they were able to take the SDK and implement it, the user interface on their product. So I was very impressed. Yeah.
I've actually considered installing the 6.18 firmware just to kind of, relive those frustrating moments. I mean, it would lock up when you would do an address search, and when you did the address search, instead of prompting you for a search to type in a street name or something, as soon as you selected the city or whatever, it would bring up every single street in the city, and you had an arrow to it. It was just little things like that were a big thing, but they were easily fixed. And ironically, the address search is one of the last things that we actually got working properly. I don't know, maybe even a week before we released. It just wasn't right all the way throughout. And then finally, you know, it just came to the point where it just all fit together like a neat little puzzle. And I was like, you know, I told him, I said, yes, this is perfect. Don't change it. And, you know, and it's real nice now.
Yeah, the address searching is really tough because there's so many different scenarios that and code paths that have to go down, you know, and this whole idea of not having to type in the city and then the address like we've had for every version of our software from version 2 all the way up to version 3.5, we had to type in the state, the city, the street, and then the address, you know, you couldn't do the address and street, and it find all of the streets for you. It was a real nightmare, actually, and our users really complained, and we finally did that. So in the middle of the SDK getting released, we came out with our version 4.0, and in there we had a new find an address user interface for the SDK for HIMS to use that would allow you to do address searching in a different way with address and city in one as one chunk, and they were able to get that in there within a couple weeks. So yeah, it was very cool.
Well, I certainly have to give Chris a lot of credit because I mean I've bugged him quite a bit to ask him questions. And, you know, I realized a lot of those questions were stuff that I would ask him over and over. You know, I forget if I asked you, Chris, but, you know, and, you know, he's always very patient. And so I definitely appreciate all his help and all his input because he definitely helped explain a lot of the things. I'm coming at this from an angle of the only GPS that I've ever really played with before was helping my wife with her Garmin. And then years ago, I played around with the Atlas Speaks, but I never owned a copy, you know, so it was just, you know, usually seeing it at, like, trade shows or, you know, conferences or whatever, and I knew someone who had one, but that was really about it. You know, I knew what GPS was, and I knew, you know, some of that stuff, but I didn't know a lot of the terms, I didn't know a lot of the gotchas, and so Chris really helped out with that. So he was definitely a great help.
Yeah, Raul with his dedication, I got a phone call from Raul at midnight the one night. He's like, how do you do this? It's like, okay.
Although the cool thing is I did ask first if I could call.
Well, yeah, you did.
Oh, that's great. You know, and Chris deserves a lot of credit. You know, he wanted to do this. And we're like, yeah, sure, that sounds like a good idea. It's going to help Sendero in the long run. And yeah, we don't really see it as competing because it is different note takers. You know, it's really nice to have the same core engine for GPS on it so that all of our users have, you know, all of the same experience pretty much. You know, Sendero is definitely trying to broaden our horizons and try to become the standard for accessible GPS, and you know, we're definitely one step closer with the Sense Navigation now on board, and we also have a few other companies in Europe that are starting to use our SDK, and hopefully we'll have our GPS software out there as well. It'd be kind of cool.
That's great. I was going to ask you that if that was you know, being expanded with other companies. I mean, that's the whole purpose of having an SDK, and I think that's great. I mean, if you can bring more people on like that, I mean, you guys have obviously done a lot of that, you know, most of that grunt work and getting all this set up and the and all that, you know, and it's just a matter of writing that UI, which I realize, of course, is harder than it sounds, but at least a lot of that stuff has already been done.
And now there's a couple different places they can go to get a, you know, an idea of how it should run, and you know, Sendero figured out the right way to do it, I think, and it's a testament that you know, to us, that, you know, HIMS took basically what we did and copied it pretty much down to a T. You know, it's a little different because you're dealing with a screen reader versus a self-voicing application. But beside that, the user interface is like just about identical, and so You know, and that's good because, you know, people are familiar with it, and you know, if that becomes the new standard, then that is really neat. So then any blind person can just, you know, pick up a GPS from whoever and start using it.
That sounds awesome right there. That sounds awesome. I guess it's cool to have both Charles and Raul here doing the whole GPS talking. I'm glad that both entities are able to focus on one thing, and that is to broaden the horizon towards each and every company.
So, Armando, can you tell me why it is that you're frustrated with Sendero GPS?
Lack of training. I mean, just to put it in simple terms, don't have anybody who lives near me who uses the Sendero GPS, and I guess the closest I have to go is just about a couple hours out of my way, and being that I'm a student, it just doesn't seem practical. And then with rehab, with Department of Rehab, even though my counselors are standing, but they're also suffering a couple bit of a deal with when it comes to the budgets and whatnot, and I don't know, it's just a whole mess right now. So yeah, that's pretty much the whole deal. And then when they say they're gonna, you know, it's like they want to offer online training, you know, that's great, but how do you do that with a person who's barely learning a whole new system when you got thrown into this whole new system with no training with both the Braille note and the GPS?
Wow, yeah, I can definitely understand why that would be frustrating. But well, good luck with coming through with that. I mean, it's a pretty good product, and you know, overall, the keys and the keyboard commands are pretty intuitive, and the nice thing is you can press a lot of keys just to kind of find out what they do, and you won't hurt the system.
And then I guess the other thing is I'm using the Braille Note PK, and I mean I understand where my counselor was coming from when she got it from me, even though she's also blind as well. But ergonomic, but when it comes to the PK and trying to use it with a cane and whatnot, to me, it's like not ergonomically friendly, to put it in simple terms. And then because you know you're trying to listen to the speech and you're trying to listen to cars and other things, just I don't know. It's just to me, it's just not that friendly when it comes to reading the Braille display.
You might like this, Charles. I got to using the, you know, I would pretty much use this system every day. I mean, even if it was just literally going home and coming back to going home and going to work or whatever, you know, to try out new things, even though I knew the route already and you know that kind of stuff. So it got to the point where my 2-year-old knew that after he heard the bonk bonk, eventually he'd hear continue straight. And so he'd get to that point where he'd start to say that just automatically, even before the message came through. He'd hear bonk bonk or whatever, and all of a sudden he goes, "Daddy." I'm like, "What?" He goes, "Continue straight."
Oh, that's hilarious. Oh my gosh. Yeah, and if I say it right now, he'll be like, "Hey, that's the guy that says it in your machine, Daddy."
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, when he first did that, you know, it really blew my mind. I was like, oh, okay, you know, this is a sign. I'm using this quite a bit. But it was good though. It's a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, it's great. No, that's a great story, Raul. And you did a great job there on the talk radio program when you launched. So I was very impressed. I was listening to it, and to answer your question, what is RME points of interest that have RME at the end of them? Those are rich map engine embedded points of interest. So those are points of interest that TeleAtlas had them in the map itself, and I extracted them and created a separate file. So it's just a different set of points of interest.
Ah, okay. Well, great. That definitely helps. I've been curious, and I think I asked Mike May this before, and we had it was at the NFB convention, so eventually some people started asking him other stuff, and I don't believe we ever finished this conversation. But with the Garmin, you know, people can download POIs from all over the place or whatever, and they're just CSV files, you know, with the coordinates and the information in there in a comma delimited format or whatever. Do you know if it might be possible in the future to adapt a similar format so that people can manually modify their own POIs or whatever without having to use a system Or that way they could download POIs that other people submit just on the internet in general and integrate them into the system.
Yeah, that's definitely something that we're thinking about. We're also hoping to revamp our entire point of interest database and to use something a little bit more up to date, have it be a real database, and hopefully also increase speeds in looking up points of interest in the future as well. So this is all something that we're doing, and then being able to export and import different POI formats is definitely something that we want to entertain.
Yeah, that'd be great. I think that'll definitely make the system a lot better in that sense. One of the things I recently got for us, and I say recently, but I actually mean earlier this year when we were still living in Denver, and we got our first Garmin, is I went and downloaded all the school zone and traffic camera intersections that people have submitted, and you know, so they come up right there on the Garmin, and it's kind of neat, you know, stuff like that.
Which Garmin do you have?
Earlier this year, we had the Street Pilot 530, and then we recently sold that to our in-laws, and we got the Street Pilot 550, which is, for all intents and purposes, the same thing as a 530, with the addition of a MP3 player in it, and it also has Bluetooth hands-free for your cell phone. Other than that, though, it's pretty much the same unit.
Okay. Yeah, we have the Garmin Nuvi, and we're really happy with that, my wife and I, with, you know, touch screen. But I guess that the other one would be easier for you to interact with?
Well, the Street Pilot is also touch screen, but I've actually gotten to the point where because of their UIs, for the most part, being similar between, you know, various Garmin units, we sat down with it, and she showed me a lot of, you know, approximately where on the screen stuff is, and, you know, I'm good with manuals and all that, and so I taught her a few things, and you know, so we've been able to actually use it together. You know, of course, she's the one who can, you know, really use it because of it being a touch screen, but, you know, it's a nice unit. We considered getting a new V when we were upgrading from the 530, but the fact that, you know, the thing about it having an audible book player and some of the other stuff that it has didn't really attract her all that much. You know, she doesn't like to listen to audiobooks or whatever, and the size was a good thing, but she didn't really want to spend the extra $150 or $200 on it for just the size. But they're all good, though. I mean, we definitely prefer Garmin over all the other ones.
Yeah, no, it's a good device for sure. Hey, are you going to CSUN this coming year?
I think that if enough people convince Doug and Dan to let me go, then I will. I mean, Mike Lawler told me that, you know, every GW employee has to go to CSUN at least once, so hopefully that'll be enough for them to say, hey, you know, why don't you go to CSUN this time around? So I'm hoping I can.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. We could actually have play-by-play, the Sendero versus the VoiceSense going around the block there in a tour. It'd be great.
I'd love that. You know, one of the things I recently found out when I was searching for different user stories and different user experiences with just GPS systems in general, and I found a game that people like to play, and I think this would be great. I think that even blind people could actually do this. And it's called various different names throughout, but the most common name is just Find the Lost Chicken. And all you do is a whole bunch of people, you know, like let's say you got five people playing or whatever, they all pick a certain point, whether it's somewhere in the middle of a field or somewhere, you know, some location or whatever, and they use the get warmer method to see who can get there first. And, you know, they usually pick a location that, you know, they may not know exactly how to get to or whatever, but you know, you can't create a route to it. That's all you do is just use the get warmer method until you find it, and, you know, it's just a fun gas wasting kind of thing if you're in cars or whatever. But I think that if blind people got together with something like that, you know, you all start off in one location or whatever, and especially if you go to a city you may not be super familiar with. I don't know. I like little mobility challenges like that.
Actually, back in August, I was in Michigan, and we were doing a training, And basically, what they did was they said, we have to meet up here and at a specific spot. And they were dropping us off in groups of two or three in various locations and basically saying, find your destination. And everybody found it.
Well, that's also the point of our WayFun events there, Raoul. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but we have a wayfinding event every year, and that's a great way to get some training and to just learn your system and to have fun with a whole bunch of people using GPS. We pick a different place to go every year. This past one was up in BC, Canada, and who knows where it's going to be next year, but that's a lot of fun, and that might be something that you may want to partake in as well. It's usually in the fall, the early fall, like September, August, September.
Do you remember the game that Mike played that one day when he was on his on the two-way and said, "I'm at this lat lon. Whoever wants to find me, come find me." And two people did it.
Yeah, and the kicker was it was two of our actually the oldest people that was at the Wayfun. She must have been in her late 60s, and she found it. It was Jolene, and her and I forget who she was with at the time, but yeah, she they had a blast, and Mike gave him a free dinner lunch at the restaurant that he was at because they were the first to find him.
Hey, that's kind of cool. That definitely sounds fun. But yeah, I think it'd be great to go to GPS thing like that. I've definitely gotten a great fondness for GPS, especially the lat you know this year working on this, and it's definitely a tool that I don't really want to be without. So I'm very happy with it.
Yeah, we had one person that had a PK that came, I mean a PK, a packmate that came 1 year, Denise. She was a student, and since then she actually sold the packmate and got a Braille note, so she and her GPS with us. So it's pretty neat. That's we welcome everyone, and it's all in the spirit of finding your way and getting lost and then getting unlost. And the big thing with GPS is sometimes you have to ignore it because sometimes it's giving you wrong information, and so you sort of have to use your own common sense to say, hey, I know I'm going down this street, and when it was telling me this information, it sounded pretty good. It told me I was going north down this street, and it seemed like I was definitely on that street. And then halfway through the block, all of a sudden I asked where I'm going, and it says now I'm going south. And you're like, well, how could I be going south? I was just going north, and I know I was going north. And it's telling me that I'm on a different street. What's that all about? And what's happening there is that you're getting GPS multipath, and the signal's not as great, and it's being bounced off some tall buildings and coming down to your receiver. So you sort of have to say, well, I'm pretty sure I know what street I'm on, so I'm going to just continue down this street and get to an open area and see if it corrects itself. If it keeps telling you're going south and you're getting further and further away from your destination with the D key, then okay, I am going the wrong way. I screwed up. I thought I was going north, but I really am going south. And then you turn around and you start going the right way. But you just have to use a little bit of common sense and check some things out, like destination, is it getting closer? If it's getting further away after a minute and after 2 minutes, then you better turn around.
Yeah, definitely. Another time that I found that you have to kind of ignore it is the way some of the routes will take you. Let's say you're going west on a particular street, and your destination is going to be at the corner of the last street there. It's going to be on the left-hand corner, so it's across the street from you going. It's going to be on the south side of the street. So the route might say, take this street and make a left turn, then make a left turn. So you're basically making a U-ey, even though you may be able to make a turn ahead of time, cutting across the street. But I realize it's doing that so you're not, going in the middle of the street or whatever. But in a vehicle, sometimes you have a chance to turn ahead of time if you're in a vehicle. And so you just have to kind of use a little bit of common sense with that as well.
How about backslash and let it recalculate its route too, and find out that worked.
Yeah, that's another way, definitely. I've used that quite a bit. It's like, well, wait a minute. I'm not really sure where I am right now. Let me recalculate a route, and let's make sure that I'm, going to the next waypoint along my route. Yeah, that's definitely helped me in the past, and that's a good point there, Jerry.
I've actually used what you guys said in regards to the whole, you think you're going one way, but yet GPS telling you it's going the other way. This happened when I got training on it first in the Bay Area. The way the streets were kind of laid out, and it's like just a slight turn will throw things off. So I've been there. And that was with version 3.51, by the way, when that happened.
Oh, yeah. We've come a long way since 3.51. It's definitely, especially for pedestrian routes and traveling, we've just gotten better and better. And I think we're, oh my gosh, we're going to blow the socks off there in the future, too. So it's, we keep rocking and rolling over here. And, this is cranking out new code, and man, it's been quite a year this year, my gosh, with an SDK release, with a GPS 4.0 getting released, with the Way to Go getting product released, and now with the Voice Sense Navigation being released. Wow, this has been a pretty stellar year for GPS, all in all.
Yep, sounds like it.
Raul, definitely if you want, our GPS talk list is not just for, Sendero GPS BrailleNote users. So feel free to, to get your customers onto that list. It's easy to sign up right from our website, and, they can ask, GPS questions, and if you're monitoring that list and a UI question for the VoiceSense comes up, well, either I guess Chris or yourself can feel free to answer it. But definitely if you want to use that, if it's GPS related, tell your users about that that list, because we all get to experience other people's how they do things, and some people have a great idea of how to use the system and figure out solutions to situations that are sort of off the wall. And we've had a few of those in the past.
Just have somebody, after they keep going with the same name, have them eventually start a new thread that I end up deleting like 80 to 90% of it, because the same thread keep popping up and it doesn't say nothing.
Yeah, it definitely requires a little bit of user group etiquette as far as changing the name and keeping things that shouldn't be on the list off the list and stuff. And we haven't gone to moderating the list yet. We hope we don't have to, and so that, it's always nice to be able to just get the messages and have it just, evolve instead of having a man in the middle there. We'd hate to have to do that.
So you guys stay on topic here. I would just like to say the Eagle have landed, and they have put the cowboy into the corral.
All right, Jerry.
Wow, that was an interesting discussion. That's good that you guys invited Raul to come and share with us the Sense Navigation. I mean, it's nice to be able to hear from another GPS user's perspective. And we hope to see more and more of the GPS coming on.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you're more than welcome, Raul, to join our list and to have all of your customers, Sense Navigation customers, on our GPS talk list for sure.
Sorry about that. It seemed like I was having some network problems. But my kids are here now. My daughter wanted to ask you something, Charles. Go ahead, Eponine.
Can you say continue straight?
Sure. Continue straight. Or how about arrived at destination. Does that sound like me?
Does that sound like Charles, Matthew?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Say hi to Charles.
Hi.
Say.
Hi, how are you guys? Are you having fun with your daddy's GPS system and hearing my voice say, "Continue straight"?
Oh, yeah, you do too?
I like
And you like the voice sense?
That's too cute. Thanks, Raul. That's great. I love it.
Charles, when I be at Steaston this year, I got my ticket ready. So when I'm there, can I have your autograph, please?
Hey, man. For you, Jerry, $5.
That's a deal. He charged me 10.
Oh boy. Actually, I think I owe you a drink. I don't think we hooked up season last year. So track me down this year, and we'll have to go into that sports bar there down in the lobby there, and we'll go and grab a pint.
My wife will be with me too, so we'll find you. Don't worry about it.
Cool. We'll probably be doing the limo tours as usual, and actually, if Raul's there, we'll have to have him come on one of the limo tours, and we'll just see how the systems work together. Probably be coming up with the same points of interest, talking at the same time.
Well, Charles, I would add the privilege and honor to meet Raul because I'm around at other room on the site, different site, and I see him in there once in a while, and I really would like to meet him.
There you go, Raul. You're famous. You have your own fan club, sounds like to me.
I respect the what he's trying to do, and it looked like Sendero and GW is working together, and it seemed to me that it's also going to enhance the product and even make it that much more stronger.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt that Doug's my brother-in-law, so that's always a bonus.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just too cool. This whole GPS discussion, I think this is the best one we've had now that we got another company joining us.
Oh yeah, and actually, I'm hoping that we can get we got a couple note takers now on using the SDK. I really want to get the SDK onto a Windows platform to for laptops and for little the Okio there for the GW Micro. That would be amazing to get the GPS on that as well.
You know, maybe that's a goal that both Sendero and GW Micro could work on. I mean, I would love to see something like that on the market too, especially with PDAs and Garmins and whatnot coming out. That would be so cool.
Yeah, it's too bad Raul's having internet problems. But I guess that happens. Jose, what are you doing, honey? Oh, doing the dishes? Good for you. My 5-year-old is in doing dishes. I'm like, what is she doing in there? Your internet giving you a hard time there, Raul?
Yeah, it was, sorry. And then I realized I was VPN through Works Network and adding a lot of congestion to everything. So if someone asked me a question, I missed like the last 3 minutes or whatever of life here. I think the last thing I heard was Jerry saying he wanted to meet me, and I think that'd be great. I'd like to meet you too. So I'm hoping that can be a possibility.
Yeah, I was saying you have your own fan club here. So Jerry just respected the work that you're trying to do and stuff, so that's very cool. And then I mentioned to you that be on Windows platform and potentially on the Okio from GW.
I was just trying to be honest. I respect people, what they're doing, and what didn't realize you guys related one way or the other. But I respect that because it enhanced the product. And it's really good. And yeah, I'll be at Steve's son, and I like to introduce myself. And I'm nobody, but I'm somebody. But I like to. This year, I'm going to have my wife with me, so I got the go to www.csun.edu/cod, and then I'm going to go into the convention, and then I'm going to download the Bender before the convention and select all the one I want to see, and I'm going to tell my wife, these are the boots I want to look at.
Well, I think that would be great, and nobody's a nobody, you know. Everyone's a somebody, no matter whether they feel they contribute or not contribute much or whatever. So, you know, I think it'd be great to go to CSUN. You know, I've never gone to CSUN before, and so if I get a chance to, I know I'll be certainly salivating like a puppy when I see all the different booths that are there.
Believe me, I've been there 3 times, and when you get done with the CSUN, you're going to go home and go to sleep. Because your jaws are going to be tired and your feet will be sore.
Sometimes my wife and I will have little contests with GPS versus Garmin, or, you know, the VoiceSense GPS versus Garmin, to see how close we can get to a certain destination, or how fast, or not rather how fast, but how accurate the various different routes are. And I have to, you know, I have to say that they're, you know, I realize that a lot of it has to do with map data accuracy and all that, but it's still neat to see that in some areas the Garmin data, you know, I think they use Navtech for the North America City Navigator. In certain areas it's a little more accurate, but it almost seems like 8 out of 10 times, as far as like addresses go for the addressing, seems to be about 150 or 250 feet closer to the actual location with the Tal Atlas stuff. And so it's a neat experience to see them both working like that, because it clearly shows that the Sendero GPS system is up there, and it could easily be competitive with any commercial GPS. You know, it's just as easy and user-friendly and usable as a commercial GPS system.
I hook up the M1000 to the let's put it this way. I want to know how well it worked with a Trekker, because I know I done it with a Slim 236 and it was better. But you know, the M1000 holic, would you think that would make a big difference with a VoiceSense too?
Well, I certainly saw some better results when I used to, or when I compared the 236 to the M1000, as far as acquisition times were faster with the M1000, and accuracy seemed to be a little bit better. And I don't know if I just had just a bad luck of 236s, but I went through about 3 or 4 different Holix 236 models during our testing, and two of them could never get a fix as far as a heading on me. No matter how much I've traveled or whatever, it always show the heading is north, or, you know, I'd find a heading and then it would stay that way. So if I was heading north on a street and then I turned west, it would basically still say I'm going north, but the street itself would be off to my side, so it's like if it thought I was walking sideways. And then, you know, I don't know, it's just various other issues. I just never, I don't know if it was just me or just a bad set of Holix 236, but the M1000 was a very positive experience. You know, I really enjoyed that, and it's worked very well.
Yeah, it depends on where you were getting those 236. Did you get those through Sendero, or were you buying those on your own?
I think we had a couple there from Sendero, and then there may have been a couple more there that we had gotten on our own that I know that we had to change the firmware settings on, or with the serial cable or whatever, so we did that, but it's almost like the firmware settings wouldn't stick or something, and they'd go back to the default. I don't know, it's just really weird.
Yeah, that's true, and they would, so we actually got them burned in the firmware, those changes that needed to be made for headings at low speeds. There were some issues there, and we dealt with the manufacturer to get those changes. And then we actually had a bad batch of receivers that came in that they forgot to do that upgrade for us. And then so we had a bunch of those that went out to customers which we didn't know about, and then we had problems and we had to send them back and stuff. But that all seemed to be sorted out now, and we're using the M1000 and we're really happy with it. We've tested some other GPS receivers that came on the market, some receivers that were sampling 5 times a second, and we found those to be not as good as the M1000. So we're still really happy with the M1000 so far.
I'll tell you which one was the worst one for me was the Slim 240. I remember when I was telling Chris about that, I go, yeah, we're trying to ask this Slim 240. He's like, get rid of it. And, you know, excuse me, sure enough, you know, it didn't really perform all that well. You know, we didn't have a case for it or whatever, so I'd put it in a pocket or whatever because it was real tiny or whatever, and even just in a pocket, it would easily lose signal. I mean, it was horrible.
Would that be neat? You know, Christmas is coming up in another week, and Santa Claus will come up with something better, twice as better than the Audi 236 work and the M1000. Would it be neat to have something that work just better than like the M1000 from the 236? Well, that would be cool.
Forget about receiver. I want a new Sendero GPS release before Christmas. Now that would be cool.
I agree.
What I want is my oldest son, who lives in Washington State, for Christmas. I hope Santa can bring him a VoiceSense with GPS. I think that would be the ultimate gift for him.
The problem there, Shaw, is that people already paid for the SMA, and then all of a sudden you got another one coming up shortly.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, but that's what SMAs are for, right? Hey, get improved software. Hey, if there's some really cool new software, I'd know I'd want it.
Me too. I really do. The way you talked about a little while ago that it sounds like your next upgrades are going to be much better than the, probably not equally as high performance as how it changes from the last upgrade from 3.5, but it's going to be a good change. So all those things are very beneficial for us. I can't wait.
You know what I'd like to see is a new feature. The Garmins have this, and I imagine commercial GPSs do too. But would be a POI search that the search is based off of your current route. So if you have, you know, route X opened and you do a find or whatever, when you give it the minimum and maximum range for it to search, there might be a checkbox or something that says search along route. So instead of doing a radius search, so let's say you tell it search anywhere from 2 to 6 miles from me, instead of it doing a radius search, it will only search between 2 and 6 miles along the route in front of you based on your heading. I think that would be a superb feature.
That sounds like a pretty cool feature.
Yeah, I think that might be possible. It's definitely on our wish list, and I think the RichMap engine has some features like that that we would have to tie into. So definitely on my radar.
Yeah, because, I mean, when we were, I went to Ohio a couple weeks ago with on a sales/training thing that I was helping the other side of our company with, and we wanted to look for a McDonald's or a place to stop by and eat or something. Yeah, we found it, you know, and it was great, but he was able to actually find it faster with the Garmin because he invoked the little search along the route feature, and I found it too, but, you know, you know, because of it doing a radius search or whatever, you'll get stuff that's behind you too. So, you know, it's just, I figure, hey, you know, it'd be kind of neat to have that. And that's kind of where I got the idea from, you know, to see, hey, you know, if they can do it, then hopefully, you know, this system will be able to.
Yeah, no, that's definitely something we're thinking about. Another one that's either actually higher up in the priority list is searching for points of interest ahead of you between 2 o'clock and 10 o'clock, that could definitely help out in that sort of same situation as well.
Yes. Oh, I agree. That would be perfect. Because I mean, especially if you're, you know, if you're in a vehicle, you know, you're not going to really care about stuff that's behind you, you know, so it definitely work out. And then another one that would be nice would be like a zip code search. You know, type in a zip code, and if you don't type in a street or an address or whatever, maybe it'll just place you right in the center of that zip code, and then from there on you could explore or do whatever.
Joe, I want to ask a question after you answer Raul.
Okay. That's interesting you say the zip code to go into just into a zip code. Chris, you may want to track that, mark it as an SDK feature. I've never thought of that. I know there's quickly put me at any city, so instead of then putting, you know, the street and then the address, that you could just put in the city and then just go there virtually. We have that now in for maps. That's a new feature that was added to the SDK. So when you don't have a virtual position and you have a map, it'll pick the state or, you know, capital or city or whatever that of that map. But we could probably do the same thing for zip codes. Never thought of that. Well, it's an idea.
Yeah, I mean, because, I mean, especially in situations where, you know, people can't find a certain address because of the fact that the map data may be inaccurate in reporting a certain area or a different city, you know, maybe it's a township or whatever, and it's not doing that. But if you know the zip code, then you could do like an address search, and, you know, you put your map, but instead of a city, you just type in the zip code right away, and it skips that, you know, and if it places you in the center of the zip code there, you know, then you can hit a letter C, or you could hit the city command, or whatever it is, and find out what it is, and then you could go forward. I mean, I know you can do that right now by doing a POI search, but at least doing this way, I think would be a more direct thing, you know, plus I think it just have other advantages in general, so that you can just move to different areas right away, you know, based off zip code.
Yep. And the other thing, you know, that you can do right now through the SDK and through even your own stuff is if you wanted to search for businesses in a zip code, you could actually type in the zip code in the POI search string, and it'll come up with all those businesses in that zip code because it does a search on not only the name but the address and even phone numbers.
Yep, and I've definitely used that feature. As I mentioned on the GPS talk list there with Centennial, Colorado, what I've actually done instead of searching for zip code is I've just actually searched for Centennial, comma, Co., and that's helped like that. So, but yeah, definitely. And I actually mean, I'm thinking about writing up a couple of, I have a couple of knowledge base articles that we're going to be releasing soon. But that's a good idea to add that one in there because I hadn't thought of it till just now as a, you know, FYI kind of thing. I think that'd be great.
Another way of finding cities is probably to use a city category and just search for, in your example, Centennial, and just type that into the search string, and that worked the same way as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of new features that we'd love to add to the point of interest to make it faster and more direct. You know, instead of having, you know, we could still keep the radius searching and stuff like that, but we could add in some new stuff that you wouldn't have to put in distances. It would just search in the maps you have open and stuff like that. So it would be interesting to see how that plays out in the future.
Yeah, I mean, the cool thing, at least where my strength is I, you know, I'm not a developer or programmer, but I can envision a UI and where things should go and all that, and I can already see how a UI like this would look. And, you know, you could have something like, you know, like what we have right now with the voice sense is, you know, you hit space F or whatever, and it brings up the category and subcategory, and then after that it goes on to the edit boxes. You know, I can imagine radio buttons right there before the edit boxes that ask you what kind of search. So it'd be radius, and if you go onto radius, then those edit boxes are in place or whatever. Or, you know, like the 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock forward search, or, you know, zip code search, or not zip code, but, you know, whatever other kind of search. Just have those radio buttons, and then depending on what you pick, then the, you know, other stuff is either grayed out or available to you.
Yep. Definitely. That's something I'm that's pretty high on our priority list as well. So no worries there. We're definitely thinking along the same lines.
What about going down the road and you're on an island and the street is one name on the left, but you know where you can read the street on the on the right or name, but you can't really read the street on the left because there's an island. And if you go out the center of that island, you're gonna the map will pick that up. So in order to get it, you have to make a U-turn and come back. Is there any mean of fixing that?
I assume that question was to me, Jerry?
Yes, Shaw, or Chris, or Shaw, or Raru, too. And, yeah, you know, when you go down a highway, and we have that a lot of the street around here, but there's an island. I don't know there's an island. You know, maybe in a car. My wife doesn't understand certain things, and they just happen to. We'll be on the street, then there's a street on the right, and they give a name, but there's an island, and then there's another street going the opposite direction, and across there, there's another lane to turn into that subdivision. But it won't read that subdivision because I'm on the right side of that road. Is there a way to fix that? Or, like, okay, you're there, but there's a key you can use, and it can jump over that lane and read what's over there?
Well, there's nothing like, yeah, there's nothing in place right now for that. I know the situation. We are going to be adding in some more information as far as tell you that the road that you're currently on is split or one way or something like that. That's something that we're thinking about adding. But as far as getting you to the other side and telling you what's on the other side, that would be a fundamental shift in my thinking and how to do that. So I'm not sure yet how I would handle it.
Yeah, because when you're in an area you don't know, and I was with my wife, and she didn't know what to do, and for that, if I knew it was a split, then I could tell, you know, Nina, there's a split there. Maybe you got to go up the street and come back and turn around and come back, and then I'll read it on the other side. But there was no hint of that, but I learned from Chris a while back how that worked, and from you and so on. I wonder if that could enhance and your enhancement and improvement for that type of situation. That usually happens on a vehicle route, and if you're on a pedestrian route too, that can be a factor too.
The only thing I could think of right now to sort of, get around that kind of situation would be if you were to do a virtual exploring based off of your live position and, go to the next available intersection, make a left turn, and then, you know, if it says, I don't know, 30 feet or whatever, and then it gives a new street name, then, you know, that would be a good indication that it's a sort of a split. In Denver, we have one like that called Coronado Parkway. There's Coronado Parkway North and Coronado Parkway South, and for all intents and purposes, it's the same street, only it's split apart, and it's actually split apart by a river. And so it's two streets that are east-west streets, and, you know, they have different names because of that, but, I mean, it's literally a split, and at some point the split is, a good 300 feet, and at other points the split is maybe only, you know, 30 or so feet, and there's like this bridge in between. But for stuff like that, you know, I was exploring it virtually when I was checking out different areas in Denver, and that would be really my only indication, is that if you see something with a short distance between one point and the other when you're going perpendicular on it, then that would tell you. Beyond that, all you could really do is mark a user POI and describe it like that, which I realize would be kind of difficult if you've never been there to really know to do that to begin with.
The other thing that you could do is if you look at a detailed city information, if you're only getting address ranges on the right-hand side and nothing on the left-hand side, that might be an indication that it's a split road and that you're on one segment of the road and then there's another segment with the addresses on the other side. So that's also an idea to look for.
Yeah, I gotta start using that more often. Yeah, you know, like Raul, you know, like Charles and Chris, you can't always plan to do a virtual route when you're just traveling along and then you know, you're in that spot at that time and you gotta figure it out. And yeah, it's just check out the city map and that road and condition, and I give you the mile per hour, lane, and all the other gibberish stuff, and you listen to everything, and then you piece that puzzle together, and that will tell you, because it'll say one way, whatever. Yeah, you just piece that puzzle together.
Yeah, we definitely want to add some more stuff, like, is this street that you're on a terminal street, like, meaning that usually there's only one way in and one way out. Gated communities would be like a terminal street situation, stuff like that, and things like that you can't create some routes to because of it. We fixed a lot of that in 4.03. Definitely found some issues before that, that it wasn't creating routes to terminal streets, but we fixed that. But to have that information, if it's a terminal street, if it's a split road, if it's one way in the direction of the one way of those streets, all things that we're considering moving forward as well.
It was actually interesting. A couple of days ago, I had a situation where I was creating a pedestrian and vehicle route, and neither street was a terminal, but for whatever reason, I got the information unable to create route, and I did a reset, and I tried the same route again. Both vehicle and pedestrian route created without a problem, and I couldn't find the reproducible situation, but I just thought that was interesting.
Sometimes, too, unable to create routes, it could be a sign of corrupt maps.
That is true. And actually, I should tell you guys, I should actually tell the SDK why it wasn't able to create a route. Was the origin, your starting point, unable to get onto the map? Was the destination, you know, unable to find a street, or was no legal street because you were trying to create a pedestrian route to a highway or something like that? Right now I just say unable to create route and don't tell anyone why. So that's also on my radar to clean up and try to make it more user-friendly moving forward as well. So yeah, I got my work cut out for me, Raul.
Well, here's another one. Sorry about that. How about the ability to be able to move along a railroad, you know, in situations where you might be on a train or on a transit system that's a light rail type of system or whatever, and, you know, what about stuff like that?
You know, that was brought up, and we were going to try to do that, actually, for 4.0, and when I put it in, it messed up. Like, it wasn't a slam dunk. It was the way that I was doing virtually following streets just messed up, and eventually I'm going to have to rip out the whole pedestrian virtual moving around and rewrite that all that code and which time it would allow you to go down explore railroads. But at this point, it just wouldn't work. It just broke and it did weird things, and I ended up in a different city that I wasn't expecting. I was like, what the heck just happened here now? And it was just, you know, I just didn't have the time to fix it and to do it the right way, so I just took it out.
Are you becoming a railroad hobo?
Oh yeah, I gotta go looking around for different loose spikes to collect.
Yeah, you get like 10 cents a piece for those suckers. Probably a lot more now with the cost of iron and everything going up.
My 11-year-old loves trains, and when not this summer, but summer of 06, we went to this area in a little bit north of Denver where there's this steam train. It's a passenger steam train that's in service, and it goes from Cheyenne, Wyoming to Denver, Colorado every Saturday or something like that. So we went with a group of people to go watch this train pass by and all that. And there was a, he found a, like two or three loose spikes right around the, along the track or whatever in different parts, and he was actually able to take those with him. And when he flew back to Washington or whatever, they didn't question it in his luggage, you know, that he had some train spikes.
Wow, that's interesting. I don't think you'd get away with that now, would you?
Heck, you know, in 06, I didn't think you'd get away with it. So I don't know. I don't know what happened with that. You know, my my brother works for Southwest Airlines, and we were telling him about that. And he says, well, probably because if it was just in his regular luggage or whatever, and, you know, it's probably not a big deal, but they probably would definitely not let you do the carry-on thing.
Yeah, I was just going to say, is it was it carry-on or was it checked?
Yeah, it was definitely checked.
It wouldn't have been allowed on carry-on.
Yeah, then you can't get to them.
Well, gang, I should probably wrap things up here. Any last questions for me before I head off? This has been fun.
Nope, no other questions. But my daughter just was wanting me to tell you that you sound like a cool uncle, and she says that because she knows Doug's girls very well. Her birthday was it was on the 5th, and we had a birthday party for her last Saturday, and Doug and Claire and his girls were invited, and she gets along with them real well. And so she heard you say you're Doug's brother-in-law, she goes, really? Does that mean he's, you know, their uncle? You know, she figured that out. And so she says that you sound like a cool uncle.
Cool, yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, we sure do miss Mia and Allie and Aaron there. Allie is my goddaughter, actually. We just love those girls to death. They were always over at our house, or we were always over to their place, and definitely had... I had a lot of fun there, so yep, definitely had a lot of fun with the Joffreys. They're a great great family for sure. So anyway, gang, take care and keep an eye on the chat, users list tomorrow. Should be an interesting day.
Just in case I'm not around next week, I'd like to wish everybody Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holiday, whatever you want to call it. But I will say Merry Christmas if I'm not around next week.
Thanks, Jerry. Same to you, buddy.